He's live from his mother's basement in Los Angeles, our 400-pound celebrity insider and entertainment lawyer. It's NT Lawyer on Katie and Ed.
NT!
Hola!
Oh, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing so well. How are you, Ed?
You know, casual. Can't complain.
Casual?
Yeah, who
so what shoes are you wearing today? You got a pair of Yeezys on? What do you got going?
Oh, it's Nike SB Dunk Polaroids with the nice little multicolored swooshes on the side.
Yeah, and how many auctions did you do to get those? What'd you do? How'd you get them?
I did pay resale.
How much?
That's what you told producer Melissa.
And, yeah, how much did you spend on those?
I don't remember, but I had to have them shipped to the States, so I didn't have to pay duty on them.
They're ugly, NT.
What the hell?
Are they?
Yes.
Oh my God. A shocker. Not a shocker.
Speaking of not a shocker, Kim and Pete have broken up.
Not a shocker.
Yeah. Well, now, I want to know the context because I heard the rumor that he proposed. So now, did he propose, she said no, he broke up? Or did he propose, she said no, and then she broke up? Or they done filming the season and then they broke up?
Yeah.
That's the more likely scenario. As I was on a podcast of a person who's rather well known, and I told her, I said, look, if they make it through the summer, then the real deal. If they don't make it through the summer, then it's a storyline.
Right.
And that was, you know, a month or so ago, maybe 2 months ago. And yeah, I mean, it's a storyline. And if you think about it, how everything all came together towards the end, right? So we have Kim flew to Australia to go see Pete. We can have this dramatic Australian background as they try and keep their relationship alive. as we pan over Pete's tattoos that he got in honor of Kim, whether it's the Aladdin and Jasmine thing or whether it's the initials of all her children's names, you know, we look at all of that. And then we have that as we have thing. Then we have Kylie and Travis in Europe, in Italy, as she gets ready to celebrate her birthday, as they each take a private jet between European cities. Then, which they are doing, by the way, they're each flying like this 30-minute flight on each of their own private jets. And they're doing that, and then they have that backdrop. Then over here we have Chloe. And we have Chloe, who is moving on from her life. She has broken up from the investment banker, who nobody has ever seen and is completely met up.
Yeah.
And we have the birth of her child with Tristan as she holds the baby in her arms at the end of the season. And then we have Kendall. Has Kendall broken up with Devin? Oh, who knows? All we know is that they're on one last trip together where they're ziplining through, you know, Mexico or whatever the heck they were doing.
Right.
Yeah. You see how it all tied all together in last week? It was remarkable how everything, every single person had some kind of happy ending, except for maybe Kim and Pete, but they saw the writing on the wall. Now, the real writing is that I don't think Pete appreciated the fact that, you know, he was being manipulated as much as he was.
Are you saying that he didn't know?
No, I think he knew that he would be, you know, a part of the Kardashian machine. I mean, look, he got himself the spokesperson for manscaping, thanks to the Jenner.
That's right.
Walk away from Saturday Night Live and that paycheck, and what did you get? Got a manscaping paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's always has been the radio, right? Everything manscaping has always had to be poor radio announcers reading about manscaping and all
of
that.
Wow, NT.
So wait, so he's taken away endorsements from hardworking radio DJs?
Yes. Now, I'm sure that they never approached you, Ed, because, you know, you don't believe in that kind of thing. But at least in Los Angeles, every sports anchor has had to read a manscaping ad.
Yeah, it's either that or the one for My Pillow, right?
Yo, anytime I'm in the States, when I watch TV or listen to the radio, it's all endorsements for the worst products you know they don't use.
Yeah, exactly. And they're having to read them, so it's not even like, it's just like they're doing as you go, and they're just like, yeah, manscaping. Oh, yeah. So they got Pete to do that for them. And, you know, the manipulation part. Now, here's where, because, you know, Pete has obviously had issues with substance abuse and addiction and things like that. But apparently he has cleaned himself up to the point where that's not an issue. But the Kardashians were maybe going to hint that that was one of the reasons and he wasn't going to have any part of that. And he had planned in advance and had been meeting with a group of rabbis and stuff and had been going through some kind of thing where maybe he was going to even become Orthodox Jewish.
So they are all
willing, perfectly willing to step up and say, if the Kardashians tried anything, where they would all step up for Pete. And he kind of did that out of their line of sight. And also, they can't go after him too hard because Kanye, right? Kanye being Kanye in the background. I'm interested to see how they spin that, because the way it usually works is the guy is treated like crap as soon as he, you know, calls it off. But they can't really do that with Pete. And the whole Australia thing, I'm anxious to see how that all works in. A proposal, I can't see that happening either way. And Kim's not going to propose to him. She's 13 years older. That's not where she is in life. This was a, hey, my sister's going out with Travis, got married to him. And, you know, Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox, that's all this was. And also an opportunity for Kim to show off slowly that, you know, she got rid of the Brazilian butt lift. She got the surgery. She lost 20 extra pounds.
Yeah.
She turned into a completely different person. She looks nothing like Kylie anymore. I'm anxious to see how that plays out in the season. And I'm sure that everybody else at the Kardashian-Jenner Hulu family is too, because they want people to watch.
I've got a question about this, because, you know, we keep cycling back around to, you know, the season and the show and the ending and all that stuff. Are there people in this world, Antti, that actually buy into it and watch this show and think that this is a natural way that people live their life?
No, I don't think so. But I think that they're just fascinated with, they're willing to watch and they're willing to suspend disbelief and they're willing to, you know, whatever the Kardashians rewrite and redo and change history or whatever, they're willing to go along with it for a storyline. Now, I find that there are people who will do everything in their power to look like Kim or look like Kylie or take them as their inspiration.
Seen that.
I feel as if, and I've made this clear over the years, and I've probably expressed it to you guys, I feel that with Kim Kardashian and her sex tape, it was a completely different kind of thing than Pamela Anderson and hers or Paris Hilton and hers or whatever, mm-hmm. is that it showed people, all I need is a sex tape to become famous, because Kim had not really quite reached any kind of level of fame. She had it done a little bit, right? She had become more than Paris Hilton's assistant or, you know, Brandy Norwood's, you know, mom's kind of thing. But But she hadn't really, you know, come out to her own, and then she was a sex tape. And I feel like that, combined with the fact that Instagram has some problems with nudity, led to OnlyFans. I feel like it led to a lot of other young women thinking that porn or OnlyFans was a way to make themselves famous, and kind of turn that into a different thing. So I think that a lot of people look to her as an example of how they want to live their life. Not so much anymore because, you know, they're getting older, but now to Kylie, I need to have, you know, go get a big butt and have surgery and everything and go get my lips done and go get my breasts done, or else nobody's gonna like me for who I am.
That's, you know, I gotta say, that's the thing that I absolutely hate most about the whole Kardashian thing, is that there are some people, obviously, that you know, don't believe the storylines or buy into that stuff, but think that this is something that will make them successful. Like, wasting all this time and money on those things, completely changing yourself or being someone else will actually change who you are.
Yeah, and I've also said this before. I think that there's two kinds of people in this world. And there's obviously way more, but in the sense of reality television or celebrity, that there's Kylie's and then there's Haley's, and I'm referring to Haley Baldwin Bieber. Mm-hmm. And Haley has come, I think, where she doesn't ever, I mean, she's had some fillers done, let's be real, but for the most part, she just dresses like she is, you know, the whole jeans with the holes in them and some kind of top sweater with a little crop top, which is a completely different look than Kylie, who's basically constructed, you know, through the ability of a surgeon.
Yeah.
And my other problem is that Kylie will say that she hasn't had any work done except for maybe like some kind of plump fillers or something. Mm-hmm. And then Kim will lie and say that she hasn't anything done except maybe her nose or something. And Chloe will lie and say she hasn't had anything done except her nose. And I think that that's what's really bad, is that they just don't come clean with anybody. They always try and lie. They always try and omit. They always try and obfuscate, whatever. It goes even to like Kylie in the laboratory where she's, oh, I'm going to create something or whatever. And some makeup people called her out on it and said, hey, you need to have a hairnet. You need to have gloves. You need to have all that kind of stuff. And then she goes, no, I wasn't working. They have this, like, I have this little separate area where
yeah.
I go to
yeah.
create. And they're
BS.
Like, oh, really? You know, you're in Milan all that often where you have a separate room there to create. And also there was all this specialized equipment and everything that wouldn't just. So obviously she lied. She got called out. It's the same kind of thing. Kim gets called out for it, but they just choose to ignore that and move on. And it's really bad. And all of their failures, whether it's the Kylie swimsuit line or Kim's skin line or whatever, those just disappear. They're not ever mentioned again, even though they were all launched with great fanfare. But as soon as they collapse and die on their own because they're crappy little products, then they just pretend that they never existed and they're never mentioned again.
It's it's like seeing their shoes at the at Winners at the discount stores.
Like TJ Maxx.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I know. Yeah.
Hey, Enty, knowing the Kardashian machine as well as you do, like, what are some potential storylines that you see coming, maybe?
Well, I mean, I, this is it, because they need to come up with, first of all, they have to have their show renewed. If their show's renewed, then they'll come up with new storylines. I imagine that I see like a Tristan Chloe controversy with, you know, some kind of child support and custody and all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be the ongoing, by the time the next season rolls around, we'll have some definite courtroom action with Travis Scott and everything. So we'll have that going on. It also remains to be seen if he can continue to not have the other women in his life just not actually pop up, if they can keep those NDAs pretty strong and then he doesn't make anybody mad enough where they pop up on the radar. Courtney and Travis, I guess his health scares or whatever. I mean, the thing is on this, what it's going to be is, remember, he's going to go out on tour with Machine Gun Kelly.
Right.
So I guess the end of their storyline, which I didn't talk about, is, oh my gosh, he's totally healed from his liver thing or whatever, and now he can go on tour with Machine Gun Kelly. Isn't this just the happiest ending? And Courtney, will you go on tour with me? No, I have no desire to go on tour with you. I'm going to sit here by my pool. I think that they could make that into a storyline where, oh, his health's not as great. Oh, my goodness. And is he going to have to be rushed back to the hospital? And could we get an ambulance into a teaser shot for next week or something?
Oh, my God.
You know?
Yeah.
Some stock footage.
Yeah. I mean, if you are a producer on the Kardashians, all of these things have come into your head. You've got the storyboards already for next season. You can drag this out. You know, people put up with season after season of the boredom of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. This is nothing compared to that.
Anti-lawyer, you are a world-famous celebrity insider straight out of Hollywood, and there seems to be this bizarre rift between Britney Spears, Kevin Federline, and the kids. What is happening here?
I don't think it's a bizarre thing. I think Kevin has been... Here's the thing about Kevin Federline. Is he a grifter? Sure. When they got married, you know, he had two kids with Shar Jackson that he needed some help with child support. And so, hey, Britney, let's get married and now I can have your money and now I can pay Shar child support through that. And then, you know, he gets married to Britney. And let's be honest, there are some things that Kevin said which make a little bit of sense. And he and Jamie Spears hate each other.
Yeah.
Let's be totally clear. They hate each other. But what he said this week is that Jamie got Britney out of a really bad situation with Sam Leffy, got her under control. I totally agree with that. After a year, could he have stepped aside? Probably. He didn't need to drag it out for 13 years.
Right.
But at the time, I don't think anybody would argue that Britney Spears did not need some kind of help. And her dad stepped in. What he did after that, you know, is despicable, but at least, you know, he saved her life. Because I think that she would have died. But so then they had the kids. Obviously, Brittany is maybe not in the best shape at that point to handle the kids. So Kevin Federline is given sole custody, and Brittany gets visitation. You know, Kevin obviously is going to get some child support for that. And over the years, you know, he had that. And then he gets married to Victoria Prince. They have kids of their own. And neither has a job. I think Kevin made an appearance on a reality show, and I forget which one it is now. maybe like Celebrity Weight Loss or whatever, something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it gets a couple hundred thousand. That's basically his only paycheck in the last 18 years. And so there was a point where he was getting $20,000 a month in child support. And I've seen a lot of that. Oh, he gets $20,000 in child support. It's actually he gets $60,000 a month in child support.
What?
Because he, if you recall about, oh gosh, now it's probably been like 2 years, that Jamie and the grandkids, the Britney's sons, got into a fight with Jamie.
Right.
And they all went to court, but Jamie was still the conservator, and Kevin went full, you know, hard after them because he had abused one of the grandchildren, whoever. And somehow in all of that, Kevin starts, ends up with $60,000 a month in child support.
Like hush money, so, kind of, sort of, maybe?
Maybe, yeah. So $60,000 a month in child support. So, you know, the kids, I think he's got about 2 years left before they're 18 and he doesn't get child support anymore. And like I said, neither he nor his wife have a job. So they need to save this money as much as they can over the next couple of years. You know, he's got the house that was paid for by Brittany. But yes, so the kids have not spent as much time with Brittany over the years. They spent most of it with Kevin. Brittany has had, you know, where she hasn't been able to see them, where they maybe didn't want to go. Once you get over about the age of 12 in California, it's pretty much up to the kids to decide where they wanted to go and who they want to spend their time with. And if they don't want to go spend time with mom, they don't have to go spend time with mom. I think we've established a couple of years ago that the kids think of mom as a bank. One of the children said, you know, why would you quit? You make so much money or whatever, you know, you're rich and all this kind of stuff. Not thinking of mom's like mental health or anything like that. Now, I think that nobody likes Sam other than Brittany. So that doesn't, you know,
Her husband.
Yeah. Those two kids would not be the only children on the face of this earth who did not like their stepdad.
Yeah, that's true.
Want anything to do with their stepdad.
Right.
And I think people think that somehow Kevin has poisoned them against Sam. He may have, but step back and think again, how many kids hate any man that comes into their mom's life?
Right.
So, and the fact that they're, you know, 16 and 17 years old or whatever, and they're like, I'm not going to go to a wedding. I hate that guy.
Yeah.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
So to think that Kevin is somehow responsible for that, he may very well be. But I think that you need to think of people, you know, in your own life and go, well, no, they really hate that guy. And maybe it takes several years. Maybe Kevin has said, oh, he's just after her money. He's just after her money. And believe me, he would know. Right. Because that's all Kevin was after was Brittany's money. It wasn't love. It wasn't Juicy Couture, you know, wedding garments or anything like that.
Why is he like, I just feel like he's coming out now and saying all this stuff about her parenting. Like, why?
Because he needs a job. And so if a tabloid is willing to throw up some money or whatever, perhaps he's trying for his own reality show. Wouldn't that be a nice way to go out over the last 2 years, right? It's who's not going to pick up that and say, oh, Kevin, you're going to let us into your house. We get to follow along Brittany's kids. Perhaps we'll get Brittany on the telephone in a couple of these kind of things. Maybe we'll get a Brittany spotting or whatever. Sure, we'll pay you, you know, $500,000 or $600,000 for a season.
Not going to lie, I feel like I would love to watch that.
I bet you would. Exactly. I bet you would.
Sure, we'll pay your wife $500,000 or $600,000. Sure, we'll pay the kids a couple hundred thousand dollars. Sure, whatever hangers-on you have in your life who need a paycheck, who've been glomming off you, we'll give them some money. 100% people would watch that. So if that's something that he wants to do, I think that producers will be willing to do that. So this is him putting that out there. Not as necessarily a reality show, but again, saying to producers, I'm open to it. I'm open to it. And it would not shock me that that goes on. And then let's say the kids turn 18. It doesn't mean they're going to leave the house. So he keeps getting the paychecks or whatever. And the kids are still there, you know, following the Federer lines. That's what we can call
it. Oh, my God, Auntie.
Auntie, is this the job that you have we don't know about? Are you producing this show?
No. I mean, I could definitely produce and create some storylines for reality television. Yeah. But following the Federer lines, it's a no-brainer. It's easy. It's an easy 10 episodes. And it wouldn't shock me if we see something like that.
We are talking with our celebrity insider, Enty Lawyer. Now, Enty, before we get to your blind today, I saw something on your website where you confirmed a blind item about Matthew McConaughey. And can you tell everyone about it? Because it kind of shocked me.
Which one is this one? Is this the sperm donor one?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, but that was a long time ago. Well, this is not something that he's doing now. He's not like, you know, pleasuring himself into a cup at this time. This was back when he was, you know, doing like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and, you know, all that kind of stuff and School Days and stuff. It just that's when that was going on. You know, it given blood, given sperm. But yeah, so apparently, you know, he was a prolific giver. And so apparently there are probably several McConaughey children, you know, walking around Austin going, all right, all right, all right. you know, so that would be very interesting. Not that they'll ever know who their dad is,
right?
But if they do walk around starring like that, sure.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
What if they do like a 23andMe someday?
Oh, wouldn't that be something? I mean, I think that as 23andMe becomes more prolific and we started to see this happen, is that we're seeing dads who have done this, who have 200 and 300 kids. I don't think what I've heard that Matthew McConaughey has anything close to that. He might only have a couple kids. He might not have zero. I'm just saying that he gave. But yeah, I think that you're going to find a lot of people are going to end up being related that I think you're going to have a bunch of people that have 200, 300 kids, and it's going to be weird.
So because they're weird.
Because those 300 kids are all going to be from the same area where the donor gave, right? So all of a sudden, some elementary school close to their middle school has got 50 kids with the same dad.
Oh, my God. Auntie, what you are known for, your world-famous blinds, what do you have for us today?
That sounds a little bit unusual. We're going to call this blind trivia. Yeah, blind trivia. I mean, I know they're all kind of a guess, but this I'm going to give you basically part of the answer.
Okay.
And because it made me think about this. Anne Hayes had a horrible accident this past week. And it's kind of interesting because everybody was focused on Anne Hayes and her accident and how bad it was. And there was video and stuff. But actually in Los Angeles, it kind of got overshadowed by a more horrific accident. Because in this one, Anne caught a house on fire or whatever, but she was the only person that was injured and is near death. But in LA at the same time, there was a horrific accident that was also caught on tape where a car blew up. And I mean, that's all people are really talking about. But going back to
that
Anne
was
Hayes,
very, very sad. Very, very
it
sad.
Was. Like, it was very sad. And as somebody who has gone through that intersection hundreds upon hundreds of times, you know, it really kind of, you know, hits home. Because you know exactly where it is and what the situation is. It's not something in the abstract.
Right.
So Anne Hayes is the inspiration for a character in a movie. And the movie stars two permanent A-listers and also has kind of an extended cameo from an A-lister, a permanent A-lister. And it is a very funny film. But she is the inspiration for one of the characters in the film. So, have at it.
Well, she's a wreck, right? So, I'm trying to think of, like, what this could be. Do you have any ideas? Can we have another hint? That's hard.
I mean, it is a comedy movie. Two permanent A-list comic actors who both... Oh, by the way. Okay, I can tell this part.
Okay.
They both were on late-night television. And then there was an extended cameo from somebody who is also a permanent A-list actor who has spent a lot of time in one of the comic universes.
So wait, this is a character loosely based on Anne Heche?
Yes.
Not even loosely. I mean, they've been very clear that the character was written with Anne Heche in mind.
Is it okay. Jonah Hill? Is one of the guys?
No. You got to go back a little bit earlier than
that. Yeah, this is a fun one. I'm into this.
Yeah. And one of the other things you can think about is the relationship that Anne Heche had. That kind of also plays into the movie.
Yeah. Ellen.
Yeah, well, I know that.
Oh.
Okay, well. I have no idea.
It is a funny movie. It's got one of the funniest scenes that can always make me laugh no matter what.
Okay, cool. Into it. Anti-Lawyer, thank you so much.
Hey, you guys have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye.